Hare Krishna, our great fortune once again to hear His Grace from Shri Vadan Prabhuji on day 9th of Bhakti Shastra in Shridham Mayapur. This is Unit 2 on 1st of January 2014. We are continuing with Chapter 11, the second half of the day. Hare Krishna.
What about the growth beautiful, knowledgeable, renunciation. These are the abilities, these are the qualities Krishna has above all other gods. So that make him the supreme majesty of Godhead. And only Krishna is God. There is no other God above Krishna. He is God because he is God. Now they said Krishna is worshipable chief. How do you worship a chief? Just like we back one time, there was Rural Jamarat was carried, the chief was carried by the palanquin. You see every Saturday we carry Krishna with elephant. We treat Krishna as the chief, he's the only chief on earth. Nobody is greater than Krishna, so we make him enjoy as the chief. And just follow the principles of Krishna. To obey the principles of Krishna. Why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, if you love me with love and devotion, you offer me anything that is available. With love, food, flower, water. Very simple to serve Krishna. So this was Krishna, these are the principles. And I'm not the only speaker, other people have to speak also. So these are the preaching aspects, this is what we present.
Haribo! Yeah, I think so, Abhishek Prabhu, we want to hear you.
No, the only comment I made during the discussion, which I'll just make, is that Krishna is merciful and kind. Because you can see in the 41-42 that it says in the proverb, but Krishna is so kind and merciful that in spite of such opulence, he played with Arjuna as a friend. So, even though he's so great, Srila Prabhupada reminds us that we can still, Krishna is our friend, we shouldn't be fearful. It was mentioned in the class this morning that says, surrender unto me, come close to me, you shouldn't be fearful. Krishna is a person and he's loving. And that was the only point I made. The rest of the points, okay, I'll read them. Personal applications. Or the next person, the same one. Cautious when dealing with seniors, peers, and juniors. What was the point made by Guruji? Maybe you can elaborate on that.
The thing is, in the verse 43, yeah, you are a father, God completed communication. In the text, everything is clear, but in the first part, Prabhupada explains a little further. Like the three personalities of Godhead, Krishna is worshipful, just like a father is worshipful for his son. So that brings up an actual practical application. In your daily life, everybody has a father. And even though you don't actually maybe worship your father, but actually you respect him. This is called fear of God. The actual meaning of fear of God is not I'm afraid of God, but fear of God means respect of God, like in the official sense, the tree of God. So that's practical application of this idea. And you are the supreme spiritual master. So that was explained in the preaching application, but also in our personal life also. And Prabhupada explains the whole paragraph that he's the supreme spiritual master because he gave this Vedic knowledge to Brahma. I think I gave the original poet, exceptionally intelligent person. And therefore, he's the original spiritual master. And anyone who is not in line with Krishna and Brahma and Paramahara and cannot be a spiritual master himself. So in our case, if we want to be an instrument like we saw in text 33, we simply have to be in line with the Parampara, which goes back to Krishna, who is the original spiritual master.
We have to pay obeisances to the Lord, that's something personal application that even in next of devotion we saw a lot of times paying obeisance. That's an activity. Then as Dimitri mentioned, do it with proper mood. So we kind of had the same without hesitation. And as we walk into the temple, no one's there, okay, so they're waiting, but the Lord is watching. So whether or not initially it won't be spontaneous, but if you do it as a matter of duty, later on it will be spontaneous. Following the principles of Krishna, both in preaching and personal. So in personal life also we have to follow what's in the Gita so that we can preach more powerfully. And remembering that we are always the servants of Krishna, in that way having that mood of serving and not being proud. Ekala Ishvara Krishna, best of all our servants. So even the demigods are servants, so we are not even up to the position of demigods. So we should be humble and be in the mood of serving.
Also look to personal application. Normally life advice devotees, Charakya Pandit give an example or a quotation that fourth rule, we should not go too far, don't go too close. One, don't go too far from fire, you won't get a heat. Don't go too near, you'll be burnt. Two, don't go too near to the water. When you go near to the water, it will drown you. When you go too far, you will not get the water. Evaporate. Don't go too near a guru, a spiritual master. So who is to think like this person along me is my friend? Then you go too near, he will start thinking he's a human being like you. Commit offenses. And don't go too far. When you go too far, you will get advice, you will get instructions. You should be in between. And don't go to be a chief or somebody in this position. You start thinking that, he's my friend, what do I tell you? He's my friend. So these are the four type of things. It's not too far, too near to go too far. Hare Krishna.
Evo!
That's
all? Okay, thank you. Anyone else, any question for them? Okay, no questions. Okay, fine. I think most of the points have been covered. And the important point, of course, here we find that having realized the greatness of Krishna, then Arjuna's mood is changing, and then he's thinking, maybe unknowingly, I may have committed offenses because of being very familiar with Krishna as a friend. So therefore, he's asking forgiveness for all such offenses which may have been unknowingly committed as in the mood of friendship. So in our practice of Krishna consciousness, do we sometimes unknowingly commit offenses?
Yes.
So what do we do? So what do we do about that? Yeah, that's right. So yeah, that's one instance, and of course we can do it at other times also. But then that's true, yes, in the morning when we offer obeisances to Vaishnavas, then we actually should be in that mood that we are offering obeisances to all Vaishnavas and begging forgiveness for any offenses that we may have unknowingly committed, because we never know. Okay, and that's what Arjuna is doing over here also. Towards the end of his purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the relationship between the living entity and Krishna is fixed eternally. It cannot be forgotten. as we can see from the behavior of Arjuna. Although Arjuna has seen the opulence in the universal form, he cannot forget his friendly relationship with Krishna. So, that relationship with Krishna, as far as Arjuna is concerned, we know it's an eternal relationship on the Sakya platform. And so every living entity has an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, which is reawakened by the practice of devotional service. Okay, in verse number 43, yeah, the importance of parampara, spiritual master must be in line. And so, this is an important point also to understand that Krishna is the original spiritual master. The GBC recently brought out a statement on Srila Prabhupada's position as the original founder Acharya and his position within the movement. How many of you have read that?
Pretty long.
Well, whether it's long or short, but but it's for us. So, I don't know, some of you have attended the Disciples Course? Not yet. Okay, it's a part of the Disciples Course anyway. So, but then, I think that it's meant for all ISKCON devotees to read. Okay, so it's meant for us to read. And so we should definitely read that to get the proper understanding of Srila Prabhupada's position and the position of every other spiritual master within the institution in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, and there they make some points very clear on this. And this is one point they mention actually, that yes, Krishna is the original spiritual master, Krishna is the original deliverer. And every other spiritual master who comes in line is only accessing Krishna's mercy. And that is what he is able to give. And so this point must be very clear. Sometimes there is a sort of misconception that if something happens to the spiritual master, if the spiritual master leaves, spiritual master goes off, then even though we may be initiated, but then we have to understand that connection to the parampara has already been established by the process of initiation. And the deliverer, the original deliverer is Krishna. Krishna is the deliverer. Okay, so even if something happens to the spiritual master, there's actually nothing to be, definitely it's a loss, definitely. But then still we have to understand that there is no loss in terms of deliverance from this material world, because Krishna is the original deliverer, Krishna is the original spiritual master. Right, so this point becomes very important in our institution, especially when something happens to the spiritual master and so on and so forth. So then, therefore the GBC made this point very clear, that there is nothing to worry as far as a sincere disciple is concerned. As long as the disciple is following the instructions of the parampara, he remains connected to the parampara and he remains connected to Krishna, and so there is no fear as far as the deliverance of the prospective living entity from the material world is concerned. Okay, so that's an important point. And the other important point also, which they mentioned to this effect, as Prabhupada writes, without being a representative of Krishna, one cannot become a teacher or spiritual master of transcendental subject matter. That means, in order to be really a bona fide spiritual master, then one must follow the parampara. Without following the parampara, one cannot be a bona fide spiritual master. So spiritual master is one who follows the parampara. And it's only by that following that one is accessing the mercy of the parampara, which is coming from Krishna. So the moment somebody does not follow the instructions of the parampara, then, or rather, let's put it this way, to the degree a spiritual master does not follow, to that degree he is actually blocking the access of the mercy which is coming from Krishna through the parampara. And so therefore it's very important for us to understand this point. So no one within the parampara can say that I will access Krishna's mercy without following the instructions. The moment one does not follow the instructions of the parampara, one is creating blocks in that mercy which is coming from Krishna. It doesn't matter who it is, whoever it is. And therefore Srila Prabhupada often uses this term transparent via medium. The spiritual master has to be a transparent via medium. That means he has to present the message and he has to follow the teachings of the parampara as it is. And the moment we don't present things or we don't present the message as it is, we are actually creating blocks in the transfer of mercy. Then we don't remain transparent. If we don't preach as it is, if we don't present the message as it is, what's happening is, I'm not being transparent. And if I'm not being transparent, what's happening is, I'm not being transparent to what? To what I'm not being transparent? Yes, to the mercy. That means I won't be able to transmit that mercy from the parampara. I'm creating blocks. That means my preaching will not be as effective as it would be if I would be a transparent via medium. Is this point clear? It's a very important concept to understand. So just because somebody has spent many years in the movement, it does not mean that he automatically becomes a transparent via medium of the Lord's mercy just by being in the movement for many years. No. One becomes a transparent via medium, or one remains a transparent via medium, by following the instructions of the parampara as it is. That makes one transparent, and that makes one a deliverer of mercy which is originally coming from Krishna. Mercy doesn't belong to any of us. No one can say that I'm bestowing mercy on the fallen conditioned souls and delivering them. It's by my mercy, you know, you're going to get delivered only by my mercy. No. I don't have any mercy of my own. I am simply, as Prabhupada often gave the example of?
Peon.
Yes. The postal peon. That was Prabhupada's favorite example. The postman doesn't have, I don't know, these days I think the postmen are not so much on the field, right? I don't know. Maybe some of the, they still are?
Huh? You mean deliver man?
Yes?
Oh, yeah, over
America.
A few
UK. Okay, fine. So the point is, yes, as Prabhupada often gives the example, that he transmits the letter or the message as it is, without tampering with it, without changing it. And so, to that degree, to the degree one is presenting the message as it is, then one becomes the deliverer of Krishna's mercy. So I'm simply like a postal peon, like, or anyone within the parampara is simply like a postal peon, delivering what? Delivering what?
Mercy.
Whose mercy?
Krishna.
Krishna's mercy. Right, so I'm simply the deliverer of Krishna's mercy. I don't have any potency on my own. I am nothing. Right, and that's applicable to anyone within the parampara. The moment one thinks, I am the deliverer, I am the great deliverer, that's a problem. And that has been a problem. Therefore, understanding this concept clearly is very important. I am simply an insignificant deliverer, postal peon, such an insignificant position. I am simply that. I am simply delivering that Krishna's mercy. And the moment I change something, I tamper with it, I don't present message as it is, what I'm doing? I'm creating blocks in that transfer of mercy. So to the degree I myself follow, and to the degree I present message as it is, I'm being a transparent via medium of Krishna's mercy. Right, these are important points to understand in our own personal and practical application of Krishna consciousness. Yes, please.
the roof falls down, then the mercy doesn't stop coming. But then you also said that it's a law, you know.
Okay. They make this point very clear, that's why. They say that the flow of mercy is not through one person only. So therefore they say, they give a long list that the mercy from Krishna is flowing down through the initiating spiritual master, that the Diksha Guru, Shiksha Gurus, through the 9 processes of devotional service, and actually there's quite a big list they give. So the point is that the mercy is not flowing just through one person. Right? This is again a misconception where devotees sometimes think that it's only the Diksha Guru through whom the mercy flows and who is the ultimate deliverer. That's again a misconception. The mercy is not flowing just through one person. The mercy is flowing through anyone who is presenting Krishna consciousness and who is helping us in our progress in Krishna consciousness. Right? So it could be the Shiksha Gurus, the temple presidents, counselors, peers, and one's own practice of devotional service, the 9 processes of devotional service. So all these are deliverers of mercy. Of that point of view.
Yeah. I just had a question on the disciple succession, that we see that Arjuna is getting knowledge from Krishna. And we don't see Arjuna's name or anyone succeeding Arjuna. This question has been asked many times. Like, did someone else take instruction from Arjuna later on? Was that Parampara under any Parampara under him?
So after Arjuna, who was Arjuna's son? And after him? So basically within the line, you know, we have Arjuna, Yudhishthira Maharaj, and basically we have down the line there's Parikshit Maharaj basically, who's receiving knowledge from them. And so basically after Parikshit, then this line of Rajarishis ends actually. Because after Parikshit, Kali came, and then there are no more Rajarishis. So this parampara, which is being spoken of, the parampara of Rajarishis, that ends with Parikshit Maharaj. Okay, fine. So these are some important points in that connection. And so therefore, towards the end of his purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna that will make one perfect. Important statement. The best policy is to follow the principles of Krishna, that will make one perfect. It is also stated, no one is, okay. Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arasabhritya. That's, of course, a good preaching application point. Everyone is complying with his order. There is no one who can deny his order. Everyone is acting according to his direction, being under his supradence. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, he is the cause of all causes. Okay, fine, next group, the last one.
You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living man. Thus I fall down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, a friend the impertinence of a friend, or a husband the familiarity of his wife, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done you. Here the preaching application is showing the quality of tolerance from one relationship to another, from the point of view as a friend, a husband, master, son, and for various relationships, and even in personal relationships, this question of tolerance is very significant. Many a times, there are so many instances that we have in our personal relationships where it comes to a point where it's very difficult to endure certain points in our relationship. So tolerance is basically, this particular verse is emphasizing on tolerance.
You decide.
Okay, so in the verse and verse 44, Prabhupada describes how one may treat Krishna like a husband, friend, master, etc. like that. So you could sort of compare it to, in terms of a preaching application, very straightforward. Let's say you have a father who's at home. You have the wife who walks in and treats the father like a certain way, and it's natural. You have the son who walks in and treats the father like a certain way, and it's natural. You have the one of his friends who comes in, and it's natural. It's a certain natural. If you have a butler, he walks in and he engages in a relationship in a particular way. So it's very natural. So when we go back to the spiritual world, our particular relationship we have with Krishna is just natural. We just have a natural position like that.
After seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am glad, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O abode of the universe. So in 45, we have God shows you what you want to see, or God reveals to his devotee what his devotee is ready to see. And this manifests itself in realizations both in your private life and in your preaching life, your devotee life, where as you progress up the yoga ladder, and as you progress in Krishna consciousness and your bhakti becomes stronger, you begin to have realizations and see things maybe differently than you used to see them, or have more understanding of Shastra that you had before, where maybe reading the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam was in the beginning a nice reading exercise, but later on you have a realization that it's not exactly a reading exercise, it's a lifetime study exercise where you want to absorb this. And then further realization after that becomes, this is your personal endeavor to improve yourself. So these are the realizations that come forward out of this. I think we have another 45.
In terms of the personal application of, let's say, the purpose of 45, what happens is, as Arjuna realizes Krishna's position, he starts sort of thinking about the times when he's very familiar, like that. So one principle we sort of drew from that is familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, if we, a personal application, and I've had some experience of it also, is that if we stay in an association of devotees, what happens is we are reminded of the position of the devotees. We're reminded that they're just ordinary people. And especially our seniors, there's sometimes a danger if we're just with, let's say, juniors, quote-unquote juniors, so then there could be a So the danger of pride developing, because I'm always preaching, I'm always taking care of the people. But the idea is that if we're associating with seniors and peers can help correct us, seniors also can help correct us like that. And we're reminded not to come too familiar and maintain that respect. If we're amongst our basically if we're associating with our seniors. Another one for 45, two more for 45 in terms of personal application. What is the kind of love and exchanges between friends? You don't just, sort of ask a stranger to show me a universal form or you basically, the idea is that you don't ask a stranger to reveal some of their intimate details or intimate secrets, so to speak. That's not obvious to the common person. So there's a set of love and exchange between friends that happened between Arjuna and Krishna. No reason to fear. So, Prabhupada in the purport, his mind is to say that I fear, although again, no reason to fear. So if we're endeavouring with our projects, if we're endeavouring with our different services, there's actually no reason to fear. The success or the failure is not really dependent on our own power and strength. Mercy, seeming, the mercy is always there. Externally, the mercy may come through the form of achieving or not achieving, of receiving or not receiving, of rejecting or accepting, but the mercy is still flowing.
Which verse are you referring to?
45.
Application, many times people ask why Krishna, who is Krishna? So simple thing we can say is that there is a little personality of Godhead. So that is the reason we are preaching to them. And the personal application, the Sampradaya is giving us Krishna, which is the highest goal. That is first class. So there is no other reason to go outside the Sampradaya or look for something else.
Text 46, O universal form, 4,000 armed Lord, I wish to see you in your four armed form, with helmeted head and with clubs, wheels, gosh and lotus flower in your hands. I long to see you in that form. I would like to say on 45 also, 46 also and 47.
What
my personal realization after reading this verse? In 45 I find out that Krishna is the true lover. We try to find out lover doesn't mean the relation between man and woman also. Love may be between father and son also, husband and wife also, and between brother and sister also. If someone doesn't have any father, someone doesn't have father or mother or son, or doesn't have anyone who is true constant lover. He may, obviously, this is very strong point in preaching application. We say that there should be mutual reciprocation. Love cannot exist one-sided. So if we bring our one step towards Krishna, Krishna will bring thousand steps towards us. So this is a strong, which I said is for preaching application. In text 46, Krishna Arjuna became afraid and he is lamenting that why he had tried to serve. He had tried to test Krishna's form because he is saying that in that purport in 46, Prabhupada is saying. That he is afraid that he has committed so many offenses to Krishna out of his unalloyed friendship. So one should not be sentimental and say to Krishna, show me this, show me that. One should not contemplate or one should not speculate on the forms of Krishna. Which I also have this habit of speculating, so this I realized in text 45. And in text 46, by Krishna's mercy, Arjuna then again is saying to Krishna to show his four-handed form. So we can say that this is also one strong point where we can say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is not been incarnated from Vishnu, but Vishnu has been incarnated from Krishna. Thank you.
Anything else?
In one sense, it's almost like with a preaching application, you can also apply it personally. Because I think, as Eddie Krishna said, the first part we need to make is our mind. So, in one sense, we can actually apply all of the preaching application to our own mind like that. And in terms of, Prabhupada says, one who knows Krishna becomes free at once from all contamination of the material world. I was reading in Vedanta Psychology, that book by Dr. Maharaj. He mentions the whole cycle of sin, and when you create sin, it creates the desire to cause more sin. He says that what happens is that ignorance busts that cycle. So knowledge busts that cycle, ignorance that keeps that cycle going. So a checking system of if our contamination is if we're coming closer to Krishna, is to what extent are we becoming more and more in knowledge about what we do? To what extent are we understanding what we're doing as opposed to just being a mechanic? And it works as a checking system because see what's happening in society, religion is taken as religion is ignorance. So ignorance is taken as knowledge is taken as ignorance. You know, spiritual people, what do they know? But actually that's knowledge. Works as a nice checking system. So I can tell me.
Hey, Bo, any questions? Hari Purushpa has a question, one question.
Should at the end of this verse, one viewpoint is we should approach Krishna, and the other viewpoint is we should be having a safe distance. So that's kind of, it's not persisting in general, but I just had maybe.
They can answer you.
So should we approach Krishna without fear, or should we have fear and respect in our heart and approach him without any hesitation?
Just like you approach the deity, you should approach it without hesitation. Krishna is totally in control of the situation, not us. So as we approach the Lord will take care of our approach. It's entirely based upon our renunciation, our sacrifice, our service, what's in our mind, what's in our heart. Krishna is totally in control of us. So you can approach as hard as you want to approach, as close as you want to approach. You will only approach based upon what Krishna is allowing.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Rebo! Okay. So that is the end of Arjuna's prayers and yes, so verse number 44 is speaking about this important quality of tolerance. Taro eva sahishnana. That is as we recite in the Shikshashtakam. So yes, definitely the quality of tolerance is very important for a devotee. And they mentioned the point of familiarity breeds contempt. Does it apply on a spiritual platform? So let's put the question this way. When does familiarity lead to contempt? Prabhuji is asking, what's contempt? Somebody has a precise definition of what's contempt? Yes, Nikhil?
Well, Bhakti Churu, my guru and I are very close friends, but I have experienced practically that when I, and so is Jayadvaita is like my other guru. So I've experienced practically when I get too close to either of my gurus for extended periods of time, I begin to see what I perceive as their fault. And I wouldn't call it contempt, but I have learned over the years I've learned over the years that I need to keep a respectful distance and not even though they both call me their friend, I really have to look at them only as my instruction video.
Okay, fine. Thank you for that. Yes, contempt basically means some sort of maybe a fault finding, or one doesn't have the same level of respect. One begins to see them as as someone not so respectable.
Takes for granted.
Yeah, takes for granted. Okay.
Family and close friends.
I think it's more. It's not just like family and close friends. It's something more on the negative platform, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So when does familiarity lead to contempt?
Sometimes there is a danger to see spiritual master as an ordinary person.
Yeah.
And you can, just like Krishna did, you can say some things which are not very appropriate.
Yeah, so that means, you like that?
I was going to say one of the ways to familiar is contempt is when you're a young teenager and you're living at home.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind hasn't matured into a respectful position yet for your parents. You are very familiar with your parents, and quite often teenagers become contemptuous of their parents and argue unnecessarily with their parents.
Okay, fine, thank you. So yes, so basically, so when one does not have that, to put it in Krishna consciousness, when one does not have a spiritual vision of the other person, right, so one begins to see a person on a material platform, basically. So that means one begins to see a person as ordinary, and one fails to see the spiritual perspective, then familiarity leads to contempt. But it said, if one maintains that spiritual vision of the other person, and which should be for every other devotee, with every other devotee we are dealing with, whether it's junior, equal, senior, it's very important to maintain that spiritual vision that here is not an ordinary person, here is a devotee of Krishna who is very rare. If we maintain that spiritual perspective, that spiritual vision, then we would not be in a fault-finding mode, or we would not reduce that respect which we have. And the classic example is the example of Gadadhar Pandit and Pundrik Vidyanidhi. So he saw that opulence of Pundrik Vidyanidhi, and immediately Gadadhar Pandit thought, oh, here, this, I came to see a Vaishnav, but this is not a Vaishnav, this is a self-gratifier. Right, so immediately the vision changed, and he sort of became contemptuous. Right, he was finding fault. So then that vision had to be changed. And then when Mukunda recited the verse from the Bhagavatam, and then he exhibited ecstatic symptoms, then once again the entire vision changed from material to entirely spiritual perspective. So that's what is required. So then, if one is always having that spiritual vision of everyone around, of every other devotee, that here is a devotee who has a relationship with Krishna, who is dear to Krishna, then familiarity breeds love. The more we understand this aspect, that here is a devotee who is dear to Krishna, and I want to become dear to Krishna, then as we become more familiar with the person, we actually begin to understand more and more of the spiritual qualities, then that familiarity will actually breed love. It breeds contempt to the degree we see the other person on a material platform. It breeds love to the degree we see on a spiritual platform. Okay? Okay.
Just a small opposition. I felt like maybe you want to clarify. Is that because Krishna said he is neutral to everyone, if we want to satisfy him, I have like a feeling that we should see not only devotees as spiritual beings, and you know, they pay respect to actually everyone, because there is a tendency that, I mean, definitely for me, that I try to maybe sometimes to divide devotees and non-devotees, and then when I go out, you can see, other people as non-devotees, so to speak, but actually everyone is part and parcel of Krishna.
Yeah, that's right. At the same time, I think that we are having such a tough time seeing other devotees as devotees. So I think that this is what we should try and learn first, and then we can, because the Madhyamadhikari is one who distinguishes the Lord, the devotees, non-devotees, innocent. He distinguishes that. Right, so that's the first platform. The Uttamadhikari platform is higher, where he does not even distinguish that. He sees everyone as spirit souls. Right? But that's the higher platform. So first of all, we should at least try to come to this platform, which itself is very difficult. We are having sufficiently tough time to come on the Madhyam platform. Forget about the Uttam platform.
One question.
Go ahead.
How will, if when we preach, how will, I have like a feeling that if we look at people like, you know, a little bit distinguishing, they will not be very connected to us. You know,
So the Madhyam distinguishes between devotees, his friendly relationships with devotees, and with the non-devotees, he's compassionate. Right? So that's how one has the right attitude towards the non-devotees. One shows compassion towards them. But friendly relationships are only with devotees. Six loving exchanges are only with devotees. We don't have six loving exchanges with the non-devotees. When they become devotees, then you can have. Otherwise, if you have six loving exchanges with the non-devotees, what will happen? Yes, asatsan, then I go on their side instead of getting them on my side. Right? Okay, fine. So now and at the end of the purport to verse number 46, Srila Prabhupada makes a very important preaching application point. This verse establishes without any doubt the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and all of the features originate from Him. Okay, so that's a conclusive statement. Going ahead with the other few verses. Verse number 47. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you by my internal potency the supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence." Okay, and we discussed this point, how no one had ever seen this particular form, the Kala Rupa, before. 48. O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine. For neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances, can I be seen in this form in the material world. So even to see this universal form requires certain qualification. Simply by all these activities, one cannot even get a qualification to see the universal form. Okay. Verse number 49. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. 50. Sanjay said to Dhritarashtra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. Question may arise, why did Krishna first show four-armed form and then two-armed form? Why did he show directly the two-armed form? Okay, so then the question arises, why did he ask to see? Okay, this is one point to show that that even Vishnu comes from Krishna. Any other points? Why? Why first four-armed form, then two-armed form?
To set a distinction between the four-armed and two-armed form, how beautiful is the two-armed
form? Okay, possible. Okay, another reason which is given is this, and that is, one cannot approach Krishna in the two-armed form directly. It is said, even when we are worshipping Krishna on the altar, what should be the mood? Yes, like worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. So first of all, one has to develop the mood of awe and reverence because we are practicing Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. Vedi Sadhana Bhakti means we accept Krishna as supreme. We don't have spontaneous love. So this point, Arjuna wanted to establish this point that yes, one cannot directly approach the two-armed form of Krishna in spontaneous love. First of all, one has to develop the awe and reverence, the mood of Lakshmi Narayan worship. And that's also said to be another reason why. First four-armed form, then two-armed form. 51. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, "O Janardhan, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. 52, let's recite. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Sudu Darsham Idam Rupam Drishtamanati Yanmama Devapyasya Rupasya Nityam Darshana Kamshinaha. The Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mind you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Sudur Darsham. Right? It's not only just Durdarsham, but Sudur Darsham means extremely difficult to see. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form which is so dear. Nityam Darshana Kankshinaha. Even the demigods are always eager to see this two-armed form which is so very rare. And Srila Prabhupada describes that how that's the reason why all the demigods, they gathered when Krishna was born, when the womb of Devaki, all the demigods had gathered to have darshan of this two-armed form. Actually, we all know this pastime when all the demigods were perturbed by the demoniac kings and they approach Brahma. Then where does Brahma go? Which Sagar? Yes, the Shir Sagar. He goes to the banks of the Shir Sagar. And then what happens? Yes, he meditates on Vishnu. And then what happens? So then what happens? Vishnu appears? Yes. They only hear the sound vibration from Vishnu. They cannot even see Vishnu. The demigods, they don't even see Vishnu at that point of time. So therefore, even the Vishnu form is so difficult to see. What to speak of the two-armed form of Krishna? So even the demigods are eager to see that two-armed form. Right? So it's something which is extremely rare. And 53, he says, the form you are seeing with your constant life cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. So how can one see? Verse number 54, let's recite. Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya aham evam vidojana jnatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So, bhaktyatva ananyaya shakya. The only way Krishna can be understood is by undivided devotional service. Only by kevala bhakti, no other means. Okay, and you all have already studied in the Nectar of Devotion what is kevala bhakti. And so we don't have to explain that. And that's the purport actually. Where Prabhupada's long purport is describing what is this kevala bhakti. Okay, so how that kevala bhakti can be performed? Krishna is describing in verse number 55. Let's recite verse number 55. Mat karma kram mat paramo mat bhakta sanga varjitaha nirvaira sarva bhukteshu yasa maheti pandava. My dear Arjuna, He who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. So there are some important words here, and that is mat karma, mat parama, mat bhakta, sanga varjataha, nirvaira, sarvabhuteshu. Okay, these are, I think, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 important terms that Krishna is using. And we will just briefly go through each one of them. What does it mean? So what is Krishna karma? Mat karma kren. Krishna is saying. So what is Krishna karma? Prabhupada is explaining in the second paragraph of his purport. Before that, Prabhupada says, anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality Krishna must take this formula as stated by the Supreme Himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Right? So this is a very important verse where Krishna himself is practically giving us indications of how we can practice that undivided devotional service which he mentions in the previous verse. So he's saying this is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. So the first thing is, what is Krishna Karma? Prabhupada quotes this verse, Anasaktasya Vishayan. No work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna Karma. Okay, so whatever work one does must be in relationship with Krishna. That is called Krishna Karma. Then what is the meaning of Mat Paramo? And of course, Prabhupada gives various examples for Krishna Karma, which is basically anything that one can do for Krishna. Now in the next paragraph he writes, the word Mat Paramaha refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in a supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. Okay? So that is the meaning of Mat Paramaha. It means one wants to go back to the supreme abode of the Supreme Lord. Then what is Mat Bhakta? Within the same paragraph further down, he says, as indicated by the word Mat Bhakta, he fully engages in devotional service, specifically in the 9 process of devotional engagements, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping and so on. Engaging basically in the 9 process of devotional services. And Prabhupada writes further down, one can engage in all 9 devotional process, or 8 or 7 or at least in 1. And that will surely make one perfect. That's the meaning of Mat Bhakta. Basically engaging in one of the 9 processes of devotional service. Now the next term is Sangha Varjitaha. It's quite clear. Prabhupada says one should disassociate himself from persons who are against Krishna. Not only are the atheistic persons against Krishna, but so also are those who are attracted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. So basically giving up asat-sang. Asat-sang-tyag e Vaishnava-char. So that's Sangha Varjitaha. And the last one is Nirvaira. Prabhupada explains that in the next paragraph. A devotee of Krishna is friendly to everyone. Therefore it is said here that he has no enemy. Nirvaira. Right? Because he thinks he's friendly to everyone. He thinks of the benefit of everyone. Prabhupada gives examples of Jesus Christ and Haridas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj. And then towards the end of that paragraph he writes, now we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaged in his service, risking everything for him. Therefore it is certain that such persons must reach the supreme planet after leaving the body. And the last paragraph, in summary, the universal form of Krishna, which is a temporary manifestation, and the form of time which devours everything, and even the form of Vishnu, four-handed, have all been exhibited by Krishna. Thus, Krishna is the origin of all these manifestations. It's not that Krishna is the manifestation of the original Vishnu or Vishnu. Krishna is the origin of all forms, right? So that's one of the important teachings that we get from this chapter, that Krishna wanted to show to the whole world, and that's what Arjuna also wanted to show to the world. There are hundreds and thousands of Vishnus, but for a devotee, no form of Krishna is important, but the original form, two-handed Shyamasundar. Okay, so that's the important point. So thus ends the Bhakti in the purpose of the 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the Master Universal Form. Haribo! So we have finished the 11th chapter. Okay, and one can understand the two-handed form of Krishna, which is the source of all others, by the practice, only by the practice of pure, undivided devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. We kindly request you to please be seated, though we have finished. So, I usually like to give the feedback forms one day before, because usually on the last day everyone is sort of rushing, including myself. So, we are giving you feedback forms. Kindly give your honest and frank feedback so that we can improve our services to the Vaishnavas. Okay, so don't feel hesitant. And if my humble request, please write your email IDs also, so that I get your email IDs also. So you can write them also as you write your feedback. Okay, thank you very much. So you have 15 minutes for writing your feedback. No hurry. Okay, so take your time, think, and please give your feedback. Hare Krishna. At the end of 15 minutes, before you leave, please give it. Okay, and only if the feedback is given, I will mark your open book assessment. Oh. Sorry. I will be giving the outlines of these slides, that means the content of these slides, in the Word document. I'll give it to Krishna Swarup Prabhu and you can collect from him. Okay. I'll be giving now.